Sad story is told of by someone who read about a terrible accident in which several young people were killed when their car was struck at a train. And at the trial, the watchman was questioned, "Were you at the crossing the night of the accident?" "Yes, Your Honor." "Were you waving your lantern to warn of the danger?" "Yes, Your Honor," the man told the judge. But after the trial had ended, the watchman walked away mumbling to himself, "I'm glad they didn't ask me about the light in the lantern, because the light had gone out." We are all watchmen. We all have a wonderful privilege in this dark world of making a difference. And we can because of who we are, and yet so often we don't. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight. We have the table of the Lord, and I'm going to mention a couple of things that shows how sad it is when we as believers who truly know the truth and understand who we are fail to have the light of God's presence and truth in our lives and through our lives. And unfortunately, as believers, we don't live with that deep assurance of who we are and that certainty of victory that we can have. And of course, the Apostle John, as we've mentioned on a number of occasions, is so burdened that God's people here at the end of the first century would abide in Christ. He was thrilled at the resurrection of Jesus, this one that he loved. He was still having intimate fellowship with, and God was working. And as falsehood was beginning to swirl, the Spirit of God was still enabling those who abode in him to understand that falsehood and to love one another and to have that early warmth and fire of the early church still going on in many of the churches at that time. But he knew that for many, though the reality that they were saved, the light of that reality had gone out. They had forgotten who they were. Did you know that Christians can forget their Christians throughout a day? Ever done that? Ever just become so neutral in your thinking you're just part of the crowd? And unfortunately, I think a lot of evangelical Christianity in America lives that way. They're aware they're a Christian, but they're not thinking purposefully throughout a day about who they are in Christ and letting that dominate how they operate. So we've been looking at all these different certainties that we have in chapter 5 as we get to the conclusion, as he wraps up all these different subjects that he's been talking about. And I just want to directly go to our text because of time here tonight, verse 19. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Let me stop there. We know that we are of God. The wonderful certainty of who we are. Can I challenge you tonight to ask God to help you revel in who you are and live with that reality? You see, there is an abiding inner assurance of our spiritual origin. We belong to God. My friends, we are children of God. We have been purchased with a great price. You are individually important to God. He has purchased you. You are not your own, and he has a unique relationship with you. And you can have that absolute reality that you are of him. That reality should grip and change our lives. One commentator said, "To be gripped with certainty is to be charged with the principle of righteousness that can dissolve every bond of iniquity, that breaks the power of worldly fear and pleasure, and will make us living or dying more than conquerors." You see, we have to think on these things. "Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus." You know, one good thing to do this week would just be to see how much time you just go into neutral. It's really a dangerous thing. That's Satan's playground. We need to be aware that we are the Lord's. When someone gets engaged, they are very aware of their relationship and they think about it a lot. It dominates them. It's wonderful when you are a child and your parents reinforce how much they love you and they talk about that relationship. You are thinking about that. It's a great comfort. And it's a great joy to know we are His. We often hear about the need for a Christian worldview, and that's very important. You need to study very much what the Bible says about it from our creation on, who we are in Christ and what all is going on. History is His story, and you begin to get that perspective. But we need a worldview that's even greater than that. You know, you can have a Christian worldview and still have a secular mindset. But we need a worldview that is our practical everyday living. So every one of us can know and live with that knowledge that we are of God and realize, wow, this world is not just secular. This world is not just something I'm a part of. This world is under Satan's control. The whole world lieth in wickedness, and it has the idea of lying under the power of the wicked one. The god of this world is the god of this culture. And my friends, we've got to realize that so often we are allowing what Romans 12:2 says that we're not to allow. Be not conformed into the mold of this world, this age. And so we need to realize that culture, folks, let me get this, culture is not neutral. Well, there are neutral aspects of culture, but culture at large is Satan's cosmos, his organized system to bring us down and to keep us away from God. And though we live in the world, we are not of the world, the Lord says. And we've got to learn to identify the reality of Satan's organization of this world's culture. And so we're of God, the world is of Satan, they're at odds with each other. Whoever is a friend of the world is what? An enemy of God. See, my friends, God has given us a free will as a believer, but we need to live with that consciousness that I am His, He loves me, I have this special relationship, He's my friend, therefore I cannot be a friend of the world. The world lies under the power of the wicked one. I need to identify that. I need to have compassion for the lost. I live in this world. I must operate in it, but I must not allow it to press me into its mold, to be conformed to it. And so we've got to realize that when we live for the things of this world, we are actually worshiping Satan instead of God. You know, it must really grieve the heart of God how many of His people, especially in the Western world, worship at Satan's shrine rather than worship God. But what a wonderful thing to know. I'm a child of God. See, that should be the positive side of it. I am His. I am of God. And then we go to verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He is emphasizing strongly here under the power of the Holy Spirit that we must be alive, just extremely sensitive to who we are and what God has done. And we know, we have this innate knowledge through the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to our heart, that the Son of God, that asserts the deity of Christ, He did come. My friends, He came at the incarnation. It is real. He walked on this planet. He was crucified, He was buried, and He rose again, and He was resurrected. That changes all of history. And so it is a reality that we must get a hold of in our lives. And then, if we do, and I like this next phrase, and has given us an understanding. Only time this is used in any of the Johannine writings. The word means through to the mind. It denotes the ability to pass beyond the external and superficial to discern and understand true reality. When we are yielded to the Lord and we are understanding what the Word of God says, the Spirit of God will bring us through to a deep and genuine understanding of who God is and have a discernment about all of the different counterfeits that Satan has. And that's very, very important. Remember, all throughout this book, over and over, we're talking about Antichrist. We're talking about deceivers, talking about the world, being able to see it. Did you know that you have the ability, if you'll walk with God and study the Word, did you know you have the ability to figure that out yourself? Now, certainly, as a pastor, we're here to help and guide. Churches protect one another. But you individually, if you will be fully surrendered, God will bring you through to the knowledge. He will give you an intense discernment. There are times, haven't you had times where you hear something or you're around something and you say, I can't actually put my finger on it, but there's something wrong here. Ever had that happen? I have it happen all the time. You just, this is not right. Well, God will, if you'll just bring that to Him and get the help needed, He will give you clarity of discernment. We can stay true. Friends, we don't have to get off on tangents. We don't have to get off on logical extremes. We don't have to be corrupted by borderline doctrine. We don't need to be hurt by the wrong kind of thinking and rationalizing our thinking. We can stay on the cutting edge of truth if we'll keep our heart open to God. Isn't that exciting? Now, folks, that really is a big deal. Because a lot of times we just figure folks are going to struggle with different wrong thinking. We don't have to. That's how Christianity has gone through the ages, to stay right on the balance of Scripture. So we know that the Son of God has come. That's an absolute knowledge that God has given. And He's given us an ability to have an understanding, to have intense discernment, that we may know Him that is true. Now we go beyond discernment back to His original thought, fellowship. Now it's to know by experience. Three different words here for knowledge are used, that we may know Him that is true. You remember in Revelation 3 this morning, how was Jesus described there? The one that is true. And we can have fellowship, a deep level of awareness with God. Now, let me just finish this simple little message this evening with this. Folks, we can know we're of God and have that reality of our relationship. We can understand the character of the world and have the understanding of who God is and discernment so that we don't have to be part of the world and we can be clear in our thinking. But the most precious thing is that we can actually have communion with that God. It makes all the difference. When I saw the video that I talked about and heard that man say, I went in to the sanctuary of God and met with Him, my life has changed. That's what happens when you pray. That's what happens when you surrender. You go from theology, which is critical. You go from doctrine. You go from knowing Bible facts to knowing the one that all the facts are about. And when you meet with Jesus, your confidence, your assurance, your purpose, your understanding just changes completely. And you come out of that time with, this is the true God and eternal life. I know whom I have believed. How did the martyrs, how did they face the stake? They knew their God. How have men and women stood over the years in very difficult circumstances? They met with God. When you know you are with the eternal and true God, when you are with the one who has come for us and that we have an eternal relationship with Him, it doesn't matter what happens, you're set. When you know something to be true, that's it. Nobody can talk you out of it. When you've seen it, when you've been there, when you've done it, somebody says, that didn't happen. Well, you know it happened. When you know the Word and the Spirit of God brings you into genuine fellowship with Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody says, He is real. This Bible is true. You can't talk me out of it. This is guiding my life. And that's how God wants us to live. And what a great joy to live in an insecure world with absolute confidence. It's great to be a Christian. He lives. How do I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Simple truth, but it's true. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord. We're just a few moments going to be partaking of the Lord's table. And we're going to be rejoicing in the fact that we have this confidence because this one who is God, the Son of God, the true and eternal God, left heaven, came to this earth, became a man forever, and he died for us. And we're his. We're cherished by him. We have all the confidence we need for the future because he died for us. My friends, the goodness of God ought to lead us to repentance. The reality of his sacrifice ought to cause us to have no problem to just be honest about our sin. My friends, we ought not be holding anything when we come to the table of the Lord tonight. This speaks of what God Almighty did for us. And we need to say to the Spirit of God, would you make this very real to me tonight? Would I again heed the call of the Savior when he said, remember. Remember the shed blood. Remember the broken body. Tonight you'd say, Pastor, it's easy for me to get insecure in my Christian life. Sometimes don't even have assurance, and I get very secular in my thinking. I just go into neutral. I'm not trying to be secular, and I know these things are true, but I can drift along, and then I get shaken. And I want to be able tonight to have a life that in which, when I think of Jesus, I can rejoice. And at a time like this, I can remember with great confidence what he's done because God has changed me. And tonight, you realize that there are some things that you just need to get settled between you and the Lord before you take the table of the Lord. Or maybe just the commitment, Lord, I want to be living with that keen reality because I'm meeting with you. And I need to have that confidence and assurance, and I am allowing myself to go into neutral far too much. But as we gather here together tonight, your desire is to truly have a kind of heart that can say, I know him. I know him. I've met with him today. I know the reality. This is true. He is the true and eternal God. And so as a believer, you know you're saved, but you'd say, oh, I want to live with that purpose and confidence in a far greater way. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you just slip your hand up if that's your heart cry here tonight? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. It's so important. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have confidence that if you were to die that you'd be in heaven. Friend, oh, Jesus loves you. He died for you individually. He died for each one of us. He died for the whole world. It's only through him you can have eternal life. And maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I don't know what would happen if I were to die, or I'm not certain. I am burdened about that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and join with these others? Anyone like that here tonight? We don't want to miss you tonight if God's working in your heart. Now, Lord, we just get so stuck in our human thinking. Would the Spirit of God free our minds here tonight? Lord, would you take over? We are your temple. And I pray that you would fill each one of us with your Spirit tonight because we're yielded to you. And Lord, would we have this confidence, this knowledge, this love for you that we ought to have. And Lord, would this time of remembering you be very genuine here tonight. Lord, without your power, we can't have that happen. So Lord, you know what needs to be done tonight. And I pray that you'll work in each of these, especially that acknowledge the need. In Jesus' name, amen.